It's Thursday, April 24th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're continuing our study in Matthew chapter 9. We're talking about training.
Matthew wants us to think about what Jesus himself had to endure in ministry. Put it together. He shows mercy, and those to whom he shows mercy go out and directly disobey him. They drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. I've never had that happen yet. This was hard business, this ministry. To all servants of the Lord, no matter your station, really, we're not greater than our master.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
That's direct disobedience. Why would that be captured? This is where I was stuck this week. You got to make a decision here. When I meet with Pastor Contreras, we talk about these things, and we both disagreed. So we didn't come to an agreement on this verse. Hold that thought. In the second account, after he heals the mute man, we read the multitudes marveled and said, "We've never seen anything like this in Israel." Now here's what follows. But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." Wow. Out of seemingly nowhere. Do you understand the statement that is? They didn't just disagree that the man was healed. They said, "This happened because it was a direct work of Satan, the prince of demons. It was his power that made this man well. He's doing it by Satan's power." Who are they talking to? Now, this issue is going to come up again. The Pharisees will do this again in Matthew's gospel. He will confront it. But isn't it interesting that Matthew just leaves it alone? Boom, said. They just undermined everything he did. And nothing said. Matthew wants us to think about, I believe, what Jesus had to endure in ministry. Matthew wants us to think about what Jesus himself had to endure in ministry. Put it together. He shows mercy, and those to whom he shows mercy go out and directly disobey him. And then, when it seems like such a success, he heals the mute man, the demon-possessed man. The crowds were amazed. I woke somebody up. I'm pretty sure. The crowds were amazed. And the whole thing is undone by the Pharisees. Direct disobedience, and then you're called a demon. Satan did that. Now, I don't really like to be undermined in ministry. You know, it's not fun when things are out and things are said, and you know they're not true. You don't like that about you, do you? None of it's corrected. None of it. Sometimes you have to stop and say, why did he say it this way? And ask the question, why is nothing else said? Now think of our environment, what we would do. What conclusion are we drawing? I think the first point's kind of crucial. They didn't obey. And we might come to the conclusion and say, well, how could they not? How could they obey? They were just healed. Who would not go around and tell everyone? But Jesus said, don't. Doesn't the Great Commission say, go into all the world, baptize the nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded? When in Acts they went out, they didn't go where they wanted. The whole time, the Lord was directing where they would go, shutting doors, you go here. At one point, remember, the Spirit put up a stop sign for Paul's ministry. You're not going to Bithynia. I couldn't get away from this thought. Do we think ministry was easy himself for Jesus? Look at the disobedience. And then look at what was said about him. You're doing your work by demons. If someone were saying that in the church today about me, I might blow a gasket. Problem after problem after problem. His whole ministry was bitter struggle. He's teaching at one point in John 6, and he says things that are hard to understand, and it drove away 5,000 people. I've always wanted to title my sermon, How to Shrink Your Church. In the next section, all these people turn against him. His own brothers. They got up, this is Luke's record, they got up, they drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. I've never had that happen yet. Escondido has a lot of cliffs. This was hard business, this ministry. At times it seemed like nothing was working. I think embedded here is a reminder to all servants, since I believe this is training, come, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And we have a close in this inclusio. To all servants of the Lord, no matter your station, really, we're not greater than our master. I mean, we all want fame and success today. But Jesus demonstrates endurance, unwavering commitment when it seemed like nothing for him was working. It's mysterious to us, isn't it? I mean, he had the power to change everything in a moment and didn't. You know what he could have done to those Pharisees right then and there? Psalm 2 style? He's directly disobeyed, and then he's called Satan. And does he retaliate? And we have some people today justifying putting up middle fingers to the culture. Does he? He could have exercised wrath. Couldn't he have? See, over time, we can simply become jaded in this life with all, and it doesn't matter our calling, all the opposition, all the difficulty, you just become worn out. It seems like nothing works. It seems that God's ways fail constantly. That is an underlining problem that we sense at times. It doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like church discipline works. That's why we jettison it. And the results at times seem like they're nil to none. Now, this does not feel bad for pastor's time, what I'm about to say. This is not. But you need to understand there's a reason right now that there's major burnout in this. The numbers leaving the ministry are surprising. 48% feel the demands of ministry are more than they can handle. At any given time, 75% of pastors want to quit over severe stress that causes depression, fear, bewilderment, alienation. Why? Because there's a lot of pressure for success. There's a lot of pressure for success. We want to see people love the church, you know. We want to see people embrace the gospel. We want to see people eager for worship who would say, I could never miss, but who make excuses all the time. We want to see people cry for mercy. And we don't seem to see it as much as we want. We want to see people receive the word carefully and with respect. We want to see people honor the Sabbath. Because it's a burden? No, because it's good for you. It's right for you. And these things are always a fight. He's training them. Consider him, Hebrews, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. How do you not apply it? This is why, beloved, the summary section is so important. Matthew shows us the motivation of Christ's entire ministry. What drove him? This was the learning moment for them before they're sent out. What? You're going to go out and you're going to face all kinds of opposition. I want you to notice what he said right before he sends the disciples out. We get this refrain again, right? And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, verse 35, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. He just kept doing it. You realize that this was the purpose for which he came forth? Mark says, the purpose for which Jesus came forth, he said, we got to keep moving on to the towns, for I came to preach, not just to heal. Preach the gospel of the kingdom, good news. Through all this difficulty, he just kept on preaching. He is not wavering here and showcasing the power of the kingdom through the preaching of the gospel, moving along to continue to show the coming of the kingdom. But what drove him? Why would you endure all this? Why would you go through all this? When it doesn't seem like it works at times. Why would you put up with being called a demon? Well, he doesn't ultimately, you know that. But he's long-suffering. For who? All this blasphemy against him, all this disobedience, all this seeming lack of success, we come to the heart of it all in verse 36 today. When he saw the crowds, this is an amazing moment. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It means he welled up with great compassion. Who is this? This is God in human flesh. Welling up with compassion for rebels who wanted to help them. He must have stood up on the hill and said, come here, disciples, come here. Look at them. Look at them. Look at them all wandering. What do you see when you look at them? Are you angry at them? Are you angry at all these lawless people? I see fatigue. They're using an old word, forlorn. They're dejected. They're deserted. They're harassed. They're helpless. They don't have a shepherd. He looked at the masses this way. Have we lost that? And all of our frustrations with the culture right now. I wonder. This is the heart of ministry. I feel we forget it. I forget it. You are the people who've come up to Christ today. You're the harvest. There are all kinds of people walking aimlessly. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's looking at shepherds who've done nothing in Israel to help these people. Their phony religion, their big tassels, their large phylacteries, their ostentatious shows of the Sabbath, their phony fastings, done nothing for them. They're oppressed. But most of all, Jesus looked at them and he saw in their hearts what all these healings have been exposing. A lot of people are carrying around a lot of guilt. And they're ripped apart inside. And they're headed for the final judgment. And their sins aren't dealt with. And they need me, says Jesus. They don't realize what's about to come on them. Isn't that a scary thought? No one's thinking about this today. No one's thinking about hell and judgment, and it's eternal. No one's worried about it. See, the heart of what he's training his servants in the ministry, yeah, it's hard. This is warfare for people. This is as hard as it's going to get. Sure, at times it seems like nothing's working. But Paul said, we endure all things for the sake of the elect, don't we? He wanted the disciples to understand that what he was doing was the exact opposite of the religious leaders. He's binding up burdens. He's healing. He's forgiving. He's concerned about people's lost state. He's fulfilling Ezekiel. You eat the fat and clothe yourselves. The weak you've not strengthened, the sick you've not healed, the injured you've not bound up, the strayed you've not brought back, the lost you've not sought, and with force and harshness you've ruled them, so they were scattered. That's what he saw that day, because there was no shepherd. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep when I seek them out. He's doing it. This is the Lord. And as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and will rescue them from all places that they have been scattered on a day of dark clouds and thickness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. That's the ministry. And Jesus was willing to subject himself to all kinds of assaults for you. Now, how should we respond to close? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It may be that Jesus didn't send those out because they weren't sent. The two blind men, they weren't sent. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's Romans 10. How can they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You see, when there are a few pastors preaching and everyone wants to be entertained, when there are few preachers and the office falls into disrepute, that's a judgment on obstinate people. But when the Lord's reversing the tides, you will hear God's people praying again for godly shepherds who have compassion on people who deeply desire through the preaching of the gospel to set them free, and to demonstrate the compassions of Christ, that he is their shepherd. He's the one that sought them out. He's the one that loves them. Are we praying that the Lord would raise up pastors? We have a great opportunity right here with so many studying in Westminster Seminary. Do you want to see things turned around in this nation? You think fixing tax problems is the issue? The problem is an entire nation of people who are in darkness, without a shepherd. Here's how you can make a difference. You can pray to the Lord of the harvest that his ministry that is showcased here would fill the earth again, that his people would come on the Sabbath and love to drink from the waters again, and the churches would be full of eager people who are not at the ball game. That God's surprising ways would be fulfilled as the multitude would come into his kingdom that no man can number, because the Lord has filled the land again with preachers. May the gospel of the kingdom sound forth. May the same compassions of Christ go out today. May that be our prayer, because that's what's needed. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your living word, and thank you for exhibiting the heart of the Christian ministry before us. We pray to the Lord of the harvest. Would you raise up and send out again many to preach your gospel, who would be faithful in that, in this vein of ministry, who would seek to preach the gospel of the kingdom to liberate people and set them free from their burdens? Be merciful, O Lord. Help us. Let us again gather on the Sabbath as those of the harvest to gather around your word and to be fed. And may we then be salt and light in this whole city around us, telling others where the true bread from heaven can be found. Bless your churches, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, friends, we thank you for spending this time with us today. As always, we hope to see you here next time with Pastor Chris Gordon on Abounding Grace Radio. To learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email. That's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback, or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.